Here this morning, I'm going to talk about something that we love to talk about in church. Really popular topic. And it's staying with it. And what I want to talk about is obedience. Woo, whoop, the one that we all love. we've just read that 1 Kings 13, the full chapter in the Holman translation. And I just really want to make sure that we get this into us, because if you're anything like me, you hear the reading and you're sort of half asleep and you're like, oh, I didn't get this bit. So I just want to reread part of it to you in the Message translation. The king pleaded with the holy man from verse 6, help me, pray to your God for the healing of my arm. The holy man prayed for him and the king's arm was healed, as good as new. Then the king invited the holy man, join me for a meal, I have a gift for you. The holy man told the king, not on your life. You couldn't pay me enough to get me to sit down with you at a meal in this place. I'm here under God's orders, and he commanded, don't eat a crumb, don't drink a drop, and don't go back the way you came. Then he left by a different road than the one on which he had walked to Bethel. There was an old prophet who lived in Bethel. His sons came and told him the story of what the holy man had done that day in Bethel, told him everything that had happened and what the holy man had said to the king. Their father said, which way did he go? His sons pointed out the road that the holy man from Judah had taken. He told his sons, saddle my donkey. When they had saddled it, he got on and rode after the holy man. He found him sitting under an oak tree. He asked him, are you the holy man who came from Judah? Yes, I am, he said. Well, come home with me and have a meal. Sorry, I can't do that, the holy man said. I can neither go back with you nor eat with you in this country. I'm under strict orders from God. Don't eat a crumb, don't drink a drop, and don't come back the way you came. But he said, I am also a prophet, just like you. And an angel came to me with a message from God. Bring him home with you and give him a good meal. But the man was lying. So the holy man went home with him and they had a meal together. And then we've just heard what happens, that he's eaten by a lion and killed. So the first time he's offered this meal, he's, no, not on your life, you couldn't pay me enough to sit down with you at a meal in this place. And the second time he's, no, sorry, I can't. And then the guy says, well, I'm a prophet, I'm just like you. And then he goes off and has the meal. And as I read this, I was thinking why this might be. And, you know, there could be all kinds of reasons that the second time he chooses to go back and have a meal, despite the initial instruction from God that he's not to do this. You know, could it be that he was just really, really hungry and tired and he just thought, oh, yeah, you know, I'll go with him then? Or was he genuinely deceived? You know, did he really think that this prophet had heard from God, so what he had heard must be wrong? Did the old prophet allow doubting that he had even heard from God in the first place and thought, oh, well, you know, am I really right? Maybe this guy's right. Or he's heard something more up to date than me. So we can't say for certain exactly what's in the holy prophet's mind when he chose to go back with the lying prophet. But whatever reason the prophet may have had, whatever motives, he disobeyed God's express command or instructions. And we see that the consequence was that he was eaten by a lion and died. And this morning, I don't want this to be a heavy message, because this is a challenge for us all. Rather, I want you to be encouraged, and I'm going to talk about some ways that we can help ourselves stay on track and stay on the path of obedience. But as we see and as we read, our disobedience to God has consequences. And there are consequences to our actions, regardless of our thought process or our feelings or our motives. The holy prophet disobeyed God's strict orders, and his disobedience cost him his life. And when we are disobedient, when we step outside of God's will, when we do things differently to the way that he has asked us to, we are opening ourselves up to disaster. You know, I think we're so blessed that God has given us free will. He doesn't just pull strings. We are able to make our own choices, and we can choose to stick to what he has said or to go a different way. We have that freedom of choice. And God has called us to stick to his word. So I want to talk this morning about how not to get eaten by a lion, how not to get devoured. And by that, what I mean is how to keep to our original instructions to be people of obedience to God. And how really to help ensure that we're not diverted from our original instructions from God. That we stick to what he has said to us. That we stick to doing things God's way. Not the word of the people, not what anybody else says, not what our feelings tell us, or even sometimes what we think is genuinely best, even if we've thought through it intelligently. Even if you have, you know, what seems like a good reason to do things differently. But we need to stick to his word. We might have all kinds of reasons to do things differently. But I want to encourage us this morning, church, to always stick to God's way. And so the first point that I want to make is, don't be deceived. Verse 18 to 19, but he said, I am also a prophet, just like you. And an angel came to me with a message from God, bringing him home with you and give him a good meal. But the man was lying. So the holy man went home with him and they had a meal together. So this prophet is lying. His sons, they told him what had happened, that the holy prophet had openly said to Jeroboam that I can't eat with you. So this lying prophet is aware of that. He knows that he's not, you know, this prophet isn't supposed to go back and eat with them. So he's deceiving him. And, you know, he's not a good prophet. He's what we'd call a false prophet. He's not a great guy. He's not a goodie in the story. So it seems to be a deliberate trap. It seems as though this lying prophet wants to expose the good prophet, or wants to trip him up, wants to get him to disobey God. And you know, how many of you know that in our lives that there are traps out there that we can fall into? There are false prophets out there, that there are evil spirits, that there are lots of lies all around us all the time. We only have to look at some of our politicians and government to see that there are so many lies that we can be deceived by, and people can cleverly trick us sometimes. And I want to encourage you this morning not to let anything deceive you, and to stay true to God's word and what God's word says to be true. Don't let anybody tell you differently to the word of God that you have known to be true, to the word of God that you have in you, to the word of God that we have here. God's instructions for us that we have today in his word do not change. Our Bible remains the same. What the Bible says does not change. And obviously, you know, we study it. We might change some of our theological views on certain issues. You know, but there are things that the Bible is clear on. You know, an extreme example might be do not murder, do not steal, you know, to love our neighbour. The commands that we have, those things do not change. And what God expects of us does not change. Regardless of who we are, what age we live in, what our past is or our history, God asks the same things of all of us. And I know we've discussed this before last time I spoke. I think we were talking about to be pure and holy and to be set apart in the way that we live our lives and to be people of obedience who will listen to God and do what he says, how he says. And we live in a world where we're surrounded by lots of evil, aren't we? And lots of things that can deceive us, that can take us off track, that can encourage us to have a different way of thinking that is not the way of thinking that God wants us to have. In Matthew 24, we read how the disciples point out the temple to Jesus. And Jesus says, you know, it's just going to end up in a pile of rubble. And he's talking about what's going to happen in the future and what's coming in the end and how things are going to go from bad to worse. It'll be dog eat dog, everyone at each other's throat, everyone hating each other. Matthew 24, from verse 11, it says, in the confusion, lying preachers will come forward and deceive a lot of people. For many others, the overwhelming spread of evil will do them in. Nothing left of their love but a mound of ashes. Staying with it, that's what God requires. Stay with it to the end. You won't be sorry and you'll be saved. All during this time, the good news, the message of the kingdom will be preached all over the world, a witness staked out in every country, and then the end will come. Church, I want to encourage you this morning, stay with it. Other translations say enduring to the end. Keep on keeping on. I know sometimes we get discouraged along the way, and we can get deceived, but I just want to encourage you to stay with it, to keep going on a journey of obedience, and don't let anything stop you from sticking to doing things God's way. So be determined not to be deceived, because the devil's out to get us and he's out to destroy. You know, we only have to read the story of Samson and Delilah. I know I've mentioned it before, the book There Are No Strong People by Jeff Lucas. I love that book, it's a great book. But you know, the devil's just waiting. And just as the prophet the lying prophet met the other prophet under the oak tree, you know, I think, was that like a vulnerable moment where he was really tired and he was just sitting and, you know, oh man, I'm really, really tired. I'm nearly at the end of myself. I'm hungry. I'm really tired. I'm on this journey. You know, the devil is out to get us. And I want to encourage you to be determined not to be deceived. Verse 13 to 14, what we've just read, you know, it says, you won't be sorry and you'll be saved. That's what Jesus says. You won't be sorry and you'll be saved. You know, you won't be sorry if you stick with it. If you're obedient to God, you won't be sorry for being obedient. You know, one day we have to give account to God before our actions, and thank God that he is a gracious and a merciful God. And I want to encourage you, you won't be sorry if you're obedient. It's better to be obedient than to hurt yourself by going outside of God's will. And what is God's will for us? Well, we've talked about this before. We're all called to be living stones, to be a part of the church, to be a part of his family, to live a life of purity and holiness. And, you know, the Bible says we've all fallen short of the glory of God. None of us are perfect. As I stand before you today, I'm not perfect, but this is what we aim for. This is what we aim towards. So, you know, what has God called us to do? He's called us to live differently than the ungodly ways that the world tells us. Then, evil in the world deceives us. You know, we are encouraged to follow God's design for sex and marriage. You know, our conduct with our drinking, when we go out, our talking, holiness of the tongue. We've talked about this before. You know, the way that we use our tongue, are we obedient to God with the way that we speak? Do we need to ask God for help so that we're not gossiping? You know, that proverb says about the damage that our tongues can do. Are we being obedient to God in the way that we speak? You know, so often we think of these examples, don't we, of disobedience of church, and we take particular things that we think, oh, that's really terrible, that person's gone off track, they've backslid and they're going out and they're doing this every night. But, you know, even gossip, even those other things are still, you know, things that we need to work on, that it's important that we work on getting right. And you know, we don't just hurt ourselves when we step outside the will of God, but we can hurt others too when we fail to be obedient. There are consequences to those around us. So my next point this morning is, don't follow your feelings, or don't be led by your belly, if you kind of, you can think of it that way as you read this. But, you know, I actually think, was it actually that he was just really hungry and gave in to hunger? Was he feeling really hungry and thought, oh, well, you know, this guy is saying this and it sounds good to me, and, you know, I'm really hungry. I've been travelling for a while now. I've done good so far. You know, I've stuck with things so far, and now, you know, I'm really hungry, and, you know, this sounds good to me. But, you know, obedience, it doesn't always feel good. And how many of you know that obedience isn't always enjoyable? It's not always the nice thing that we hope for, that we want to do. You know, the obedience of Christ followers in other countries, it costs them their lives. People are being killed for their faith daily. You know, I'm so grateful that we live in a country where we don't have to live in fear because of our faith. You know, we're free to meet here this morning. But as part of being obedient to God, we have to deny ourselves our own desires. You know, we're all human. We all want to feel good, don't we? Yeah? We all want to feel good sometimes. But God calls us to be obedient. And it's about more than our feelings. It's about making a choice to do it God's way. And that may not always feel good. It might not always be what we hope to happen or what we desire or what we want. You know, the Bible says that the heart of man is wicked and corrupt, and our feelings get it wrong sometimes. And you know, we can't trust our feelings. We can't always trust our own judgment. And I want to encourage you this morning not to make decisions based on what you feel you need or what you want or what you think you should have or how you think things should go or what you think you should be experiencing or how it should be going for you. You know, you might think, well, what God's told me to do, it can just wait a little bit because I just need a break. You know, I've been working hard for a while now. I just need a bit of time out. I've served God for years and I just need a rest. I just need some love. I just need a nice holiday or to get that nice car. Then I can go back to that thing that God told me to do. I can just forget about those instructions that he gave me for a moment because I've done lots for the Lord. It's time for me to just retire now. It's time for me to just leave it to the young people. I've done my bit and it's been tough. I deserve a good rest. I've earned it. You know, these are all things that we can think, can't it? We can go through this whole thought process and you know, like the prophet, you know, we might actually be disobedient to God if we don't watch our own mindsets and ensure that we're not deceived and that we also don't just go with what we feel might be okay or right, but that we trust God's initial instructions and that we trust his word. Luke 9, this is, you know, Jesus talking about taking up your cross. Then he said to them all, if anyone wants to come with me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me will save it. What is a man benefited if he gains the whole world, yet loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory, and that of the Father and the holy angels. I tell you the truth, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. So it's not always fun doing what God asks us. You know, being a follower of Jesus, it isn't just something where we can just feel good all the time. You know, God is good, isn't he? Because he helps us in situations. He does help us to feel good. Sometimes if we're feeling low or discouraged. But, you know, obedience is taking up our cross. You know, it's denying ourselves and things that we want. And it might mean that actually we don't get what we feel that we need when we are obedient to God. You know, sometimes I think, things are hard for me. Do you ever have those moments where you're just like, oh, things are just so hard for me right now. Things are just so difficult. You know, do you ever have those moments where you just have a little bit of a pity party or you're kind of like, oh man, why are things so tough? You know, then I look at other people like Hudson Taylor and I read some of those stories and I'm inspired about, you know, how they obeyed God and stuck to what God had told them to do despite the challenges. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you're struggling with all of this, you know, read some of these stories about Hudson Taylor and some amazing missionaries and people that really were obedient to God despite all kinds of crazy things. And of course, the best source is our Bible. But, you know, you may have some real needs today, and I want to encourage you that God will take care of you. But we have to deny ourselves, and that means that our selfish desires or even the things that we want out of life, they might not be the things that God has asked for us to achieve or for us to do. He might have a different plan, and I just want to encourage you to remember that following Jesus is taking up, we have to take up our cross, and we have to deny ourselves. So that means we don't go with what we feel we need or what we may want. And following Jesus, we know that, you know, we might get suffering in this world because of it. God doesn't promise that when we come to church that we're going to feel good. He doesn't promise us that we'll get what we want. And, you know, I love it when we're in church and we sing gospel and we get really uplifted. And I find it really encouraging. I think, you know, what a great way to start, a great way to start Sunday morning. But, you know, some of you might not want to be here today. You might think, man, I'm fed up. I've had enough. Why am I even here? But, you know, I want to encourage you to stay with it and to be obedient, because it's about more than our feelings. We are called to be obedient. So God asks us to be obedient to him. If we want to follow Jesus, we need to take up our cross. We need to deny ourselves, and God expects of us to do that. But do you know what's wonderful is that we're not on our own. As we are obedient to God, God helps us, he strengthens us. We have the Holy Spirit, and God loves us. We're his children, we're his people, and we can have that deep joy. I like this quote that I found by Kenneth Copeland. Does anyone remember Kenneth Copeland? Yeah. He says, if God gives you a command, your obedience should not be based on feelings. We can't always have things the way that we want. It'd be nice sometimes, wouldn't it? But God knows what's best for us. And, you know, he cares for us. And when we are a bit obedient to him, you know, it's the best thing to do. People often say, I don't know if you've heard that saying in church before, the safest place to be is within the will of God. And, you know, it's great to for us to know that we are doing things God's way, even if it might not be the fun way or the way that we wanted. So what are the commands? Well, here's a few things that we've been commanded to do, some of God's original instructions to us. To love one another. You might have a day where you're like, well, I don't really feel like loving that person today. I don't really feel like showing kindness to this person. To repent. You might feel, well, I don't really feel like saying sorry. I don't feel like changing this area in my life or dealing with this issue. I'm not really feeling like it today. But God has called us to be people, a people of repentance. To forgive. You know, that's not an easy one, is it? Some of us, it's not easy, is it, to forgive? But God has commanded us to do so. You know, what if God is speaking to you something personal in your life? What if he's asking you to stay somewhere and you don't want to stay, you want to leave? What if he's asking you to leave and move on somewhere else and you don't want to do that? What if he's calling you to serve him in another country and you're like, well, I don't really feel like that, or that's just a bit scary for me at the moment, so I'm just going to put what God said to me on a side for a moment because I'm not really feeling that right now. The next point that I want to make is don't be distracted. You know, there are so many things in life that we can distract us, that can come along the road that we walk on and take us off track or make us think differently to what God has said to us. And, you know, this made me think about who we're allowing into our lives, who we're allowing to speak into our lives, who we're actually giving our time to listen to. Who are we stopping for? Are we asking God to speak to us? You know, before we make these things, like, you know, when the lying prophet said, oh, well, I've heard from an angel. You know, he just went off with him. He just believed him. You know, my dad always says that great thing about when he's speaking on a Sunday, you know, he encourages you to go and check the Bible for yourself and check what he said. And I know his pastor said that to him as well. You know, and I want to encourage you, we can't always believe what we hear, can we? I know that you all know that because you're not dummies. But, you know, we can't always believe those things. And, you know, what are we actually allowing to be spoken into our lives? What are we giving our time to? Are we actually asking God about things, you know, before we just accept these things into our lives? And like I mentioned before, the lying prophet, he found the prophet from Judah under the oak tree. And I do wonder if that was just a moment where he was really at his weakest, he was really tired, he needed a break. And that was just the moment that he came in, the lying prophet. And you know, I just want to encourage you this morning, if you're feeling tired or if you're feeling weary, if you're feeling vulnerable, you know, maybe you're feeling at an all-time low, I just want to encourage you, you know, God's with you. Stay with it. Stick to his original instructions. Don't let anything take you off track. If you're discouraged, don't allow, you know, somebody or something else to come into your life and to take you away from what God has called you to. My mum mentioned last time she got up and spoke about guarding our hearts and what are we allowing into us and to control us. And she reminded us that actually we have more power than we think, that we can guard our ears, that we can guard our minds, that we can guard our hearts, that we can choose what we're listening to, you know, what we're giving our time to, the influences that we're allowing into our lives. You know, we can open ourselves up to things that can lead us astray. And like I mentioned earlier, the devil wants to distract us and take us off course. There's the song that I sometimes sing, One Brick. How does the devil build a stronghold? One brick at a time. You know, it might just be a little thing that we allow into our lives, and before we know it, we've gone completely off course from the thing that God told us to do. You know, we've got this big problem in our life. So what are we giving our minds time to? What thoughts are we allowing in our minds? What are we allowing in our heart? Are we opening ourselves up to things that are going to lead us off track? Who are we talking to? Who are we confiding in? Who are we trusting? You are the guardian of your own heart. I had a great teacher at Bible College, Dr. Carol Alexander, and she always used to say that. She always used to say, whatever's going on in your life or however you feel, you're the guardian of your own heart. You're the person who has control over your own heart, and you can choose how you manage it. And so, you know, I want to ask us, what are we listening to? What influences are we choosing to allow? Are we really aware as well of what we're allowing in? You know, sometimes we're not always aware, are we, of bad influences around us or things that are not helping us to stay with it and to be obedient to God, to what he's called us to do. And, you know, that's why we have our daily time with God and we just say, Lord, you know, examine me. You know, is there anything in me that I need to change? The next point that I want to make is to know the voice of God and hold on tight to it, to be attentive to what God is saying. When I was in Keighley recently, there's a lovely pastor called Reba there, and she was speaking on knowing the voice of God. And she was saying about how, you know, when you really care about somebody, you make time for them. And in our house recently, we've had a little bit of a laugh because me and my mum, the other day, we said we're really going to have to plan in our diaries when we can meet for coffee, because although we may live together, sometimes we barely see each other. And we said, man, we've really got to make time because we're just weeks are going by and we barely see each other. So we were making some plans to do that. And you know, how much more important is it to spend time with God? How much more important is it to get to know God? And you know, that means sometimes we have to set aside that time. You know, it might mean setting our alarm clock an hour earlier and getting up an hour earlier. It might be going for a walk to this place, you know, on a certain time every day so that we can get some time alone with God, so that we can get to know his voice. You know, what happens when somebody new comes to church and you want to get to know them? You take some time, don't you? You might go out with them for coffee. You know, you spend time around them to get to know them. And, you know, we need to be spending time with God. If we want to know his voice, you know, let's spend time with him. And if you're in doubt about what God's saying to you this morning, I just want to encourage you, keep spending time with him and getting to know his voice. And, you know, we might not be making a choice to disobey God, but I want to encourage us to be active in filling ourselves with the word of God and ensuring that we stay on track, that nothing is going to take us off course. So let's make a daily active effort to stay true to the word of God, to hold on tight to it, to get it in us. You know, listen, if it helps you in your car, you know, to listen to the sound, or to, you know, put your Bible on in your car, whatever you need to do, fill yourself with the word of God. Keep yourself on track. You know, I was in Morpeth last night with a couple of guys from the band, and we were talking about this and obedience and all the challenges of it. And this guy was saying, does anyone remember DC Talk? Yeah, I used to love DC Talk. And he was saying about how DC Talk used to say that we're always just a step away from disaster. And I thought, oh, how lovely, what a nice thing to hear. But you know what he was reminding us about was about really making that active effort to guard your heart and to fill yourself with the word of God, because sometimes we can easily be deceived, you know? And we can easily be distracted. So I just want to encourage you to keep the word of God in you. Sometimes we might doubt what God has said to us. We might doubt his instructions. You know, sometimes we might, people might come in our path and say, well, actually, God said this. And we might think, well, that sounds better to me. I'll go with that one. That sounds better than what I've heard. But I want to encourage you to stay true to what God has said to you in his word. There's a lot of people that say today what people want to hear. You know, God's gonna get you that nice car. God's gonna get you that promotion. God's gonna fill your life with wonderful favor, and you're gonna get these things and achieve these things. But you know, sometimes what God is asking us to do or saying to us is something that we really don't want to hear. I look at the Old Testament prophets and, you know, just look through it. It's warnings, isn't it, so often? And, you know, we've been blessed to have some prophets here at our church, like Graham Bell, who have really built us up through their words and really encouraged through their words. But, you know, there will be people out there that may say great things. You know, like God said, he's going to give you that car, he's going to give you that promotion, and, you know, God's going to bless you, and all this kind of prosperity teaching that we hear. But when I hear that, my mind turns back to Matthew 13, when Jesus said to the man, you know, sell all that you've got and give it to the poor, which is much less attractive, isn't it, to us as humans. Another day, a man stopped Jesus, this is from verse 16 in Matthew 19, and asked, teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Jesus said, why do you question me about what's good? God is the one who is good. If you want to enter the life of God, just do what he tells you. The man asked, what in particular? Jesus said, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, honour your father and mother, and love your neighbour as you do yourself. The young man said, I've done all that, what's left? Jesus says, if you want to give it all you've got, Jesus replied, go sell your possessions, give everything to the poor. All your wealth will then be in heaven. Then come follow me. That's way less attractive, isn't it, than some of the things that we hear. You know, selling everything that you've got and giving it to the poor. It doesn't sound much fun, does it? Not if we'd like that nice car, if we'd like that nice house. You know, and I believe God's good. He wants to bless us. But he's called us to give everything to him, to give everything for his kingdom, for the extension of his kingdom. And church, I want to encourage you, let's give it all that we've got. Let's give God everything. You know, we can say, you know, Lord, I followed your commands like this guy. You know, I haven't murdered, I haven't stolen. But will we give everything to God, every part of our lives, and choose to be obedient, doing things his way, laying down our own desires or our own dreams? Even when we feel hungry, even when something else appears to be the right way or what would be best for us, are we going to stick to what God has said to us? Are we going to stay focused on his word, on his original instructions? So I want to encourage you this morning, don't be deceived. Don't follow your feelings, but rather follow God's word. And don't be distracted. Give God all you've got. Not just half of it. Not just your Sundays. Not just a few things. Not just sticking to just the main commands that you read in the Bible. But are you going to give it all? Are you going to listen to him? Are you going to allow the Holy Spirit to teach you and to guide you and follow that, regardless of what the world around us may say or what the devil may do to try and deceive you? Are you going to give it all to God for the extension of his kingdom on this earth? Will we live for him, for the extension of his kingdom, with every part of our life dedicated to it? Oswald Chambers said, "Our Lord's first obedience was to the will of his Father, not to the needs of men. The saving of men was the natural outcome of his obedience to the Father." You know, not just, not only did the prophet lose his life as a consequence of his disobedience, but we read that Jeroboam was hardened in his idolatry. And I wonder what happened after the prophet died. I wonder if Jeroboam heard about it. You know, did he hear what had happened? And what must he have thought when the prophet had said to him, "God's given me, you know, these strict instructions, so I'm not going to, you know, you can't give me anything to come with you. I'm going to stick with God's way." And then, you know, he finds out that actually he just went off with this other prophet and didn't stick to those original instructions. And I wonder, what must he have thought? You know, is his God really real? Was he just saying things? You know, and what a challenge it is to us as Christians that we are God's witnesses. And this world is watching us. You know, and we have that call on our lives to be obedient, to do things God's way, to operate according to God's design. And we all fail. So I don't want you to feel miserable this morning, like, oh man, this is so heavy and this is not fun. You know, we all fail. The Bible says we've all failed, but we have the grace of God. And when we get it wrong, you know, every day is a new opportunity for us to get it right. Each day is a new day, a new opportunity to be obedient. So if you feel bad this morning, I just want to encourage you, don't feel overtaken by shame or guilt, because God loves you. He cares for you. We all sin. We all mess up. We all fail. You know, look at the story of David and Bathsheba. You know, David is described as a man after God's own heart. And yet, you know, he has this affair and he kills this guy because he wants this woman. And yet he's still blessed. Yet we see that Jesus comes through the family line. I mean, how amazing is that? So I just want to encourage you, you know, whatever is in your past, God still loves you. And this is a new day. It's a new chance for you to be obedient, to go back to God's original instructions and to do things his way. I want to encourage you to keep that sense in you that God loves you, to remain in his love, to keep reminding yourself, because obedience isn't easy. But you know, it's easy when we remember that God loves us. You know, people say to me sometimes, I've been in a couple of conversations recently about a particular situation, and these people said to me, "Well, Libby, you need to think about what's best for you." And I suddenly thought, what? I thought, hang on a minute. And they said to me again, they said, "Libby, you need to think what's really best for you." And I thought, hang on a minute. And I looked at my Bible and I thought, what about putting others first? You know, what about in Philippians, when we're encouraged to actually lay down our dreams and the things that we want to do to support others, to build the church, to see the extension of God's kingdom. And you know, when we are obedient to God, it might not seem like it's the best thing for us, but obedience is always the best way. Doing things God's way is always the best way, even when that might not feel great. You know, God might say to you, I want you to give all your money to this thing, or, you know, I want you to do that. It might not feel great for us. It might not be great in the world's eyes, you know, but God does not measure success like this world does. And we are called to be obedient. And, you know, there's a quote by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and I loved this when I read it. "One act of obedience is better than 100 sermons." And I just want to encourage you, church, let's be people of obedience. There's a great song by Keith Green, "To obey is better than sacrifice." You know, it's easy. Sometimes we can give things up now and then, or we can make a sacrifice. But, you know, it's a different thing to live a life of obedience to God. That's so much more. And you might say, well, how can I do that practically? Well, keep up your relationship with God and remember that God loves you. Believe it, even when you don't feel it. Believe that what God has told you is true. Believe that this word is true. Don't let anyone cause you to to doubt it, or to think that this word isn't true, or that it says something different to what it actually says. Stay close to God. Get to know his voice. You know, spend time with him. You know, if you're spending time with him and you're just talking, take time to listen. You know, ask him to speak to you, to make sure that you know his voice. You know, just like you need to get to know a person. You know, are we prioritizing our time with God? Are we making sure that we meet with him? And you might say, oh, well, I've spent lots of time in church. You know, I know God. You know, there's always more that we can know. How many of you know that, you know, sometimes we'll read a passage of scripture that we've read so many times already, and there'll be something new and even deeper that we can learn from it? When we obey God, we're showing him that we love him. There's a song that I mentioned earlier. We're filming the video for it, and this is a song that I wrote. It's called Did You Do? When I was challenged on this, and it says, Mama said, get ready for the day when you have to give account. All these things you think that matter, we've got it all upside down. Remember what's important, that you do what the Lord has said. Then I heard a voice say, if you love me, you will do what I ask. If you love me, you will do what I ask. If you love me, you will do what I ask. Did you do? Did you do? Did you do what I asked? Did you do what I asked? Did I ask you to get famous? No, to make big money. No, to focus on your clothes. No, to put yourself first. No, to forget about your heart. No, to forget about the needy. No, did I ask you to prioritize all the things this world tells you are good? No, but did I ask you to tell the world about me? Yes, to give and be kind. Yes, to sort your inner person. Yes, to put others first. Yes, to keep a clean heart. Yes, to remember the poor. Yes, did I ask you to love me with all your heart, your soul, and all of your mind? Build your house on the rock and not on the sand. Be a doer, not just a hearer, and you'll make it through the storms. You'll have my peace, eternal life, so put your hope in me. When you feel weak, you will be strong. When you feel weak, you will be strong. And it goes on. And you know, as we talk about obedience, I think about Jesus, and I think about that ultimate act of obedience, his obedience to the Father. He didn't want to be crucified. I mean, you know, how could you even want to go through that pain? Yet he still did it and carried out God's will. He says to the Father in Matthew 26, he says, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he told the disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. Taking along Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is swallowed up in sorrow to the point of death. Remain here and stay awake with me. Going up a little farther, he fell face down and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he came up to the disciples and found them sleeping. He asked Peter, so couldn't you stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray so that you won't enter into temptation? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, my Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. And it goes on, he went away again and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. The Message translation puts it from verse 39. Going a little ahead, he fell on his face praying, my Father, if there is any way, get me out of this. But please, not what I want. You, what do you want? When he came back to his disciples, he found them sound asleep, and it goes on, he then left them a second time. Again he prayed, my Father, if there is no other way than this, drinking this cup to the dregs, I'm ready. Do it your way. You know, whenever I think obedience is difficult for me, or it's a bit of an unfair deal, I think about Jesus and what he did for us, and I think about, you know, what he must have felt before he gave his life for us. But he said, not my will, but your will be done. And I want to encourage you, sorry, I'm getting emotional. I want to encourage you, church, you know, if you're struggling to stay with it, to stay with what God has called you to do, keep your eyes on Jesus. You know, on his obedience. You might think, well, actually, you know, I've had a rough deal and I've given everything to God, but now it's just my time to have a little bit of a break or a rest, you know, to just live things, live a life in a little bit more of a way that I'd like to. But like I mentioned before, Philippians talks about us laying down our dreams to help others, laying down what we want and putting first actually what God wants. So will we do what God wants us to do regardless of how we may feel? God calls us to obedience. So may we be people that always stick firm to God's instructions and doing things the way that God has instructed us in his word and when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. You know, when God speaks to us, maybe the Holy Spirit is guiding you or saying something to you, let's not ignore it. You know, let's pay attention, let's be attentive to what God is saying. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you've messed up, if you've gone off track, if you've not done things the way that God has instructed, it is not too late for you. Because God is good and he gives us chance after chance after chance to make the right choice, to get back on track, to do things the way that he's asked us to do. Let's pray. God, we thank you that despite our sins and going off track, that we're here today and that you're with us. We thank you for your great love for us. We ask you that you would help us to do things your way, always. That like the prophet that we've read about today, we would not be deceived and go off track and disobey you, but that we would stick to what you have spoken to us. That we would stick to doing things your way. We pray that you'd help us to stay firm, to stay with it, to keep on keeping on and not to be deceived, not to follow what we ourselves may want, but to follow Jesus, giving him all that we've got. Your will be done, your kingdom come. Amen.